The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We got Bundesliga action on ESPN2 and the ESPN app tomorrow. First place Bayern taking on second place Leipzig. Bayern has won four straight. Leipzig 4-0-1 in their last five. Coverage starts at noon Eastern on ESPN2. Time now for Better Brackets, which are brought to you by Sherm. And the Final Four is rapidly approaching, and Gonzaga still looking to be the first team to go unbeaten since 1976. UCLA, a school with 11 championships, is this year's Cinderella. ESPN's BPI gives the Zags a 54% chance to cut down the Nets, 24% chance for Baylor, 20% for Houston, and just 2% for the Bruins. And with that, we welcome you back to our newsroom on this incredibly busy and very high-energy Friday. Delighted that you've chosen to get up with us. We come to you, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I am Greeny. The crew is here. The top of the NFL draft may be getting reshaped directly in front of our eyes. The baseball season started yesterday. The Final Four for both the men and the women is this weekend. Could we be busier? It's a rhetorical question. Roll the open. Here we go. It's time to get up with the number three. Three choices for the third pick, and the decision will reshape the entire NFL draft. Plus, was there a signal given that what we were all expecting at number two might not be the ticket? This could change everything, and it's on the way. Plus, Bill's boss seems to have some issues with the way things are going in New England. So what happens now? That's the question. We've got the answer as we get up with you starting right now. And again, NFL draft. Many people look at this as though it starts at three, where the Niners have some options. They could take Alabama's Mac Jones, who by the numbers had as good a season as any quarterback ever did a year ago. Other options include trade Lance. They could go that way despite Lance having played only a single game last year. He threw 28 touchdowns and no picks the year before at North Dakota State. And how about Justin Fields? He entered the 2020 season with hype on par with Trevor Lawrence. He threw 63 touchdowns in 2 years at Ohio State and added 15 more on the ground. Now, in his latest mock draft, which you saw here yesterday, Todd McShay has the five quarterbacks going in round one, all in the first 11 picks. But I want you to hear what Steve Young, BYU and San Francisco legend, had to say on the radio in San Francisco yesterday about who he believes the Niners really want.
There's no question in my mind that if they can figure out how to get Zach, that's their number one first choice. I just don't know how they get it done. The Jets have committed to Zach and recruited the family. I mean, I don't know how that gets undone, but, you know, look, a lot can happen. I think Zach would love it. The family would love it. You know, nothing would make anyone happier. I think the 49ers, that's their unstated first choice. So that would be wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful is one word you could use to describe it. I suppose it depends on which end of it you're coming at it from. I see the skepticism on the face of Bart Scott. But let me start with Dan Graziano. Steve Young is saying that what Zach Wilson wants is to wind up three, or to wind up in San Francisco, who currently have the third pick. What do you say to that?
They all want to go to San Francisco. Everybody wants to play for Kyle Shanahan if you're a quarterback. I mean, there's plenty of proof that quarterbacks excel in that system. San Francisco would probably love to get Trevor Lawrence, too, but they're not going to get him either. They couldn't trade up to one. They couldn't trade up to two. The highest they could get is three. And what that tells us is there are three quarterbacks that they feel good about at that spot. I would think that Lawrence and Wilson are two of them. The question, of course, is which is the third? And we hear a lot of chatter about Mac Jones because you can imagine Mac Jones in Kyle Shanahan's offense, and he looks a lot like Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterbacks that Kyle has had success with, Kirk Cousins, etc. But I can't rule out the possibility that Trey Lance ends up being the 49ers pick based on conversations I've had the last couple of days. Because, you know, you can imagine Kyle Shanahan's offense functioning with a guy that looks like guys that have always done it before. But if you're Kyle Shanahan, you're 41 years old, you know, you're not a finished product. You think about ways to evolve and do more with your offense than you've been able to do before. And Trey Lance's physical gifts certainly offer you the opportunity to do that along the lines of, say, what Josh Allen has done for Buffalo, a great big guy who has some speed and some monster arm strength. And I just can't rule out the possibility that Lance is the guy for the 49ers at three. It's a persistent thing that won't leave me based on the conversations I've had the last couple of days.
That's fair. And so we will continue to keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, let's go back to what Steve said. And Bart Scott, let me come to you on this thought. The Eli Mannings and John Elways who sort of dictated their own fate are very few and far between. People always talk about them as the examples, but it very, very seldom happens. So if Zach Wilson wants to go to San Francisco and his family wants him in San Francisco, does that make any difference?
No, and I want to win the Mega Ball. I mean, come on, stop it. Like, what are we talking about here? Yeah. I mean, it considers a source, right? Steve Young recruited the kid. Steve Young played for San Francisco. Right. This is him doing a hype job for his squad, trying to somehow Jedi mind trick, you know, Zach Wilson there. Why would, listen, and for everybody that talks about the whole Mac Jones, listen, if John Lynch and Shanahan moved up to get Mac Jones when they probably could have got him at 12, then if he doesn't pan out, that's a fireball offense. Everybody wants to talk about, oh, he reminds me of Matt Ryan. Well, that's great. But that's, you know, in this game, it's like getting a center that plays in the paint. You got to have somebody. The game has evolved. You need somebody that can stretch the court and shoot threes now. Like, you talk about a statue. Those guys are over with now. And you talk about Matt Ryan. You talk about Kirk Cousins. If these guys were being drafted, you're drafting the current quarterbacks in this league right now. Those guys would be in the bottom half, even if they were in their prime, because now the game has evolved. It's a different game. So now you think about what quarterback offers the opportunity for Kyle Shanahan to evolve his offense? Well, you think about it, it's Trey Lance. He gives you the opportunity to hold the backside defensive end because of his ability to run with the football, and it allows the run game that is already something that's potent in Shanahan's system to become even more deadlier. So now if I'm thinking about who can give me the opportunity, who has the highest ceiling in the Kyle Shanahan system, for me it's Trey Lance, and it's not even close. Maybe Justin Fields, second.
So, Jeff Saturday, let me sort of present this to you here. Tell me when we've seen this before. A young, very talented quarterback coming out of college from a system that suggests he's going to need a year or to sit and watch and learn, playing behind a very steady veteran who's been there and done that, and playing for a great quarterback coach who knows how to develop one. That sounds exactly like what happened in Kansas City a few years ago, and it could be recreating itself if they take Trey Lance and keep Jimmy Garoppolo here in San Francisco. Jeff, if you were them, is that what you would do?
Absolutely. And listen, I'm not going to split hairs between Trey Lance and Justin Fields. Both of those guys, in my opinion, would fit ideally for this Kyle Shanahan offense. And when Steve Young's talking about his, you know, Wilson's family would be happy, everybody's family, like, Trevor Lawrence's family would be really happy if he went to San Francisco, because you're playing for a quarterback whisperer, right? I liken him to Andy Reid. When a guy goes to an Andy Reid offense, you know the quarterback is going to be successful. No different in a Kyle Shanahan offense. So everybody's family's going to be happy when you go to the best team at that spot. And by the way, they're loaded all over the field, defensively, offensively. Here's the one difference I would say about the Matt Jones, all those kinds of comparisons. I do believe there are multiple ways to win. So with Bart saying you can't win, I don't believe that. But what I do get excited about is when you talk about all the boots and waggles that Kyle Shanahan runs, and all of a sudden a quarterback can pull that thing down and go 40 or 60, that is a game changer in my opinion. It does put the defenses in completely different circumstances and makes it very difficult to cover that side of the field. So I do get excited about that. So when everybody's talking about only Matt Jones, I do believe whether it be Lance or Justin Fields, what the dynamic playmaking ability they bring to the game would be something we haven't seen in quite some time.
We are going to talk about that end of it, the dynamic running threat end of it a little bit later here. But in the meantime, I want to play show you what Booger McFarland put up on Twitter yesterday. Now, we'll do that later. Let's do our Friday favorites here. And let's start with you, Dan Graziano. Out of all the things you saw this week, what was your favorite?
I mean, Kyle Pitts' pro day was unbelievable, and it has the league buzzing. I mean, everybody was high on this guy already, but the stuff he did at his pro day just underlined everything everybody already felt about this. I mean, basically a space alien come down to show everybody how to play football with physical tools that are just beyond what people are imagining. This is going to be, I think he could be the first pass catcher taken in the draft.
He might very well be the best player in this draft. Bart, what'd you like?
I love me some Justin Fields. You talk about things may – objects may appear smaller in the rear view. You talk about a 4-4-40, the opportunity to be able to be a game changer, to get those huge chunk plays, not only with your arm but also with your legs as well. I think you talk about he's battle tested. You talk about playing in the Big Ten. He played in some big games. He's a winner. This is a guy that you want on your team. Process that, NFL.
How about you, Jeff Saturday?
Let's talk about a space alien like Dan Graziano just said. Here's a space alien right here. Derrick Henry doing some swole ups right here. And now, look at Tannehill.
You got the core for that, Saturday. You got the core for that, Saturday.
That's more my speed. I'm with Tannehill on this. But Derrick Henry, I can't get there. Tannehill, I'm all about that action, boss. I'm with you, my man.
I have to admit, I hadn't seen
that. He almost pulled a hamstring.
That was a lot of fun. Very good. All right. Meantime, mine is not going to be my favorite thing. It's actually going to be my least favorite. I insist we talk about golf, and you need to see what happened to our beloved Phil Mickelson yesterday. If you're thinking to yourself, boy, that didn't look like it went the way he meant to, well, you're right. This is in San Antonio at the Valero Texas Open. This is on the 18th hole. His second shot went in the creek. Then he struggled to get it out. Then he wound up whiffing on a shot along the way. He would drop for his eighth shot in the fairway and wound up carding a quintuple bogey 10 on the hole. That was a tough day for Phil Mickelson, the opposite of my favorite thing this week. Coming up, they are sitting on the number two pick, but have the Jets tipped their hand on who will be the face of their franchise next year? We've got that on the way. Plus, sometimes it takes more than just talent. We match these QBs with the teams that set them up for the most success. That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and the New York Jets taking Zach Wilson with the second pick in the upcoming draft has long felt like practically a foregone conclusion. Now, what that would mean for Sam Darnold, of course, is an interesting question. And yesterday, Adam Schefter found this on the New York Jets website. If you just went on their website and you clicked on the little icon that said tickets, this is what you see. It says 2021 ticket information and a picture of Sam Darnold. And Shefty posted, does the Jets ticket department know something that others do not? It was at minimum interesting, but was it important? That's the question for Dan Graziano. What's the answer?
No, I don't think it's important. Look, I mean, he's the only quarterback they have on the roster right now. And I think it, I'm not sure this is part of it, but I do think the Jets want it to be known, whether it's true or not, that they're okay with holding on to Sam Darnold even if they do take a quarterback at number two. They haven't been able to get the offers for Sam Darnold that they were hoping to in their trade talks. And at this point, if they were to keep him and he left as a free agent after the year, you're talking about a compensatory draft pick in 2023. They got plenty of picks in 21 and 22. They don't necessarily need those. So if you can't do better than like a third rounder for Sam Darnold, the Jets feel like, why don't we keep him and see if the offers get better in the summer or the fall? So I think, again, I'm not sure the ticket department has much to do with that, but I do think in general there's benefit to the Jets in the perception that they don't need to move this guy right now.
Right. Look, we read into things all the time, and sometimes rightfully so and sometimes not. When the Cowboys put out that video that didn't have Dak Prescott in it, we lost our collective minds. And so sometimes these things just are what they are. Bart Scott, what do you think it is?
Listen, I think this is an indication. We heard Davis when he came in said, for all indications, he believed that Sam Darnold was going to be the quarterback. Listen, this is the thing, Greeny. We know out of one of these five quarterbacks, somebody's going to, or the likelihood of three or four of them may even be bust, right? Like, what's the percentages of five guys all being hits in the NFL? Right? So we understand that somebody's going to pick wrong. You have Sam Darnold. You know that he's not a bust. You know, you may not think he may be a franchise quarterback or one of the top 10 quarterbacks right now, but we know he's not a bust. So, you know, you think about it. Do you want to be that one of those teams that's picking at number two, that picks the bust, that picks the Willie Ponder, that picks the Jamarcus Russell, that picks the Blake Bortles? Do you want to be one of those guys? Because right now you have a 23-year-old quarterback that I think has shown that he can cut his teeth in his league, that shows flashes when he has some protection, some weapons around him. Listen, he's had two quarterback coaches, or he's had two coaches. He's had mono, and he's played through a pandemic. I mean, give the guy a chance, please. Like, before you move on from him and continue to watch him go be Ryan Tannehill, somebody else, somewhere else with somebody else's organization.
Yeah, to your point, Hambo just flashed the number up there on the screen. 42% of quarterbacks drafted in the first round have signed a second contract with their team. So the hit rate, to your question, is less than 50-50. Jeff Saturday, what do you think?
I agree with Bart here. Listen, I think Sam Darnold deserves an opportunity. And I think this team, if you bring Zach Wilson in or somebody else, it's not going to make a tremendous amount of defense. There's so much deficiencies in this football team that they need to address and get better. I think even if they do draft a Zach Wilson, maybe you roll with Sam the first year and can kind of see what he can do. It may be one of those type of situations. But I think Sam Darnold has been unfairly criticized for what he has shown, right? I mean, he has had no protection, no run game. I mean, you can continue to go on and on. One guy cannot do it all. And I understand he was drafted high. I understand he was a shiny toy a few years ago. I don't think it makes any difference who they bring in. Give this guy an opportunity. He's had 3 years to cut his teeth. Let him develop. He's 23 years old. He's got a long lifespan in the NFL. If you give him an opportunity, I think he'll make the most of it.
And so, but quickly, Dan Graziano, to come back to you on the Insider, that's what these guys think. Frankly, it's what I think. But it doesn't seem to be what the Jets think. Yes, the expectation from people that you talk to is that the Jets will take the quarterback, Zach Wilson, second, right?
The 49ers were out there offering 3 first-round picks and a third, and the Jets didn't want it. They're not going to sit at 2 and take somebody who's not a quarterback, having let that stay on the table.
Right, and they're not going to do that. And if they were going to trade it, maybe that would have been the most logical place to trade it. We'll leave that there for the moment. Much more football as we go. But it was opening day yesterday, and we had a wild one at Coors Field. Picking up Dodgers and Rockies, top of 3, no score. Cody Bellinger at the plate with a runner on. He sends one to left, and here comes just a crazy moment. That's Raimel Tapia. He's trying to get a piece of it. He winds up going over the wall. Bellinger's saying it's a home run. Here's the problem. Justin Turner was on base, and he thinks that ball was caught. It's kind of hard to blame him because it looks like it was. But instead, Turner winds up going back. He winds up behind Bellinger. Bellinger winds up passing him on the bases. And so it's an RBI single instead of a 2-run home run. Crazy moment on opening day. Meanwhile, we go to the bottom of the 6th. Dodgers are down 6-4, and Clayton Kershaw is in a little bit of trouble. And now he's in a little bit more. That's a base hit to left. Chris Owings will score, and that's your day for Kershaw. Rockies up 6-4. Kershaw gave up 10 hits, 5 runs, struck out 2. Take it all the way to the 9th. Dodgers are down 8-5. There's 2 outs, and the bases are loaded for Mookie Betts. Here he comes. Chance to be the hero, but he can't do it. The liner, and that's your ball game. Rockies hold on to win it by a score of 8-5 on opening day. And Jessica Mendoza was on the call, and she gets up with us here. Jess, what's your number one takeaway from a wild one yesterday with the Dodgers and the Rockies?
Oh, just the defending champs. I mean, it's game one, and you saw just the errors. Kershaw not at his best. I mean, that's a typical day. You open up at Coors Field, you probably won't see the same amount of chaos as far as Cody Bellinger passing Justin Turner, but it was a crazy day. I mean, Mookie Betts, this ball carries over his head. It falls in. Kershaw gives up 10 hits. By the way, 9 of those 10 were just slap singles getting through. There was a squeeze bunt to get the Rockies on the board. Who squeezes anymore? I mean, it was such an unusual game. Lots of errors. Ball went under Corey Seager's glove to score 2 more runs. I mean, this is not the Dodgers team that we have built up, but it also is a huge reminder that, yes, you come straight after spring and get into that game one, you're just not going to be fully ready. One of the biggest things, though, Greeny, was you showed it, that last out of the game. Daniel Bard for the Rockies, the closer, got Mookie Betts out, got the last three outs of that game. Huge story. He sat out for 8 seasons. He was a coach for the Diamondbacks. Hmm. Came back and now is throwing 100 miles an hour. Just an amazing story to come in and close that game against the champs.
Now, the Dodgers over-under is 103.5 wins this year, so we'll see where that one goes. Meanwhile, I know you picked out three things that you want everyone to see that happened on opening day yesterday, and let's start with Gary Sanchez.
You know, you think about what he did last year, 146, just was one of the worst hitters in all of baseball, let alone the expectations that the Yankees have placed on him, how much they need his offense. To see that home run, you could just feel the relief. This doesn't mean he's going to go and hit 400, but just the fact that he was hitting, big news for Yankee fans. Then you switch. This was my favorite. Miggy Cabrera. First of all, it is snowing, okay? And Miggy being Miggy, okay? So this ball barely clears. He can't tell. He thinks it's a double. He comes sliding into second base. And then, of course, anyone who knows Miggy Cabrera, I mean, this is so classic him with the snow. How perfect was this for opening day? And then, of course, you think about all the talk about Fernando Tatis Jr. You want to see 14 million? 14 years, $340 million. To be able to earn that, you got to have a sick swim move like this to be able to get back on the back. So many things that Tatis Jr. can do. We talk about his hitting. We talk about his defense. But this right here was just so classic, fun, young, what we love about the game. I missed baseball. I'm telling you that. And these were some fun three takeaways for me on opening day.
Oh, it's great to have it back again. And we look forward to this energy for the next 162. Thank you, Jess. Great to see you. Thank you for getting up with us here early
Thanks,
today.
Sweet.
Meanwhile, there was another big story yesterday. The college basketball world really stunned by the sudden retirement of the Hall of Famer Roy Williams, calling it quits at the age of 70 after spending 33 years as a head coach at two legacy programs, first at Kansas, then back at Carolina, where he won three championships. And yesterday, he talked about his decision.
I'm not going to say the best man, because I never thought I was the best at anything. But 15 years at Kansas, I thought I was the right man. And this time at North Carolina, I thought I was the right man. I no longer feel that I'm the right man for the job. I don't know what the future holds. In some ways, I'm very sad. And as I said, I'm scared. But I'm also really happy and proud. We did okay.
Did a whole lot better than okay. What a run for Roy Williams. 903 wins, fourth most of all time. Only coach with 400 or more wins at two D1 schools, at Kansas and at North Carolina. All right, coming up, we're expecting this to be a historic draft for quarterbacks, but what are the best fits for each of the five? We will place them where they belong. Coming up next here on Get Up, and it's time for a little sneaky hembo, going head-to-head as usual with Dan Graziano. Here it comes. Which franchise has the longest active drought since drafting a Pro Bowl quarterback? That's the question, and the answer is next. Get Up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. We are back with Sneaky Hembo time for Graziano, and it's a tough one. Which is the franchise that has the longest active drought, Dan, since drafting a Pro Bowl quarterback?
Yeah, I got to start by saying I have no idea. When he gives me Pro Bowl stuff, that's a blind spot for me, because I feel like everybody makes the Pro Bowl, so it's really tough to figure that out. I have to guess, and I know it's always rundown related with Hembo, right? So, you know, the Jets might be an obvious guess. I think that's probably too obvious. We've been talking about the 40. I'm going to guess the 49ers. It's a guess.
No, that is incorrect. The answer is the Cleveland Browns, who have not drafted a quarterback who made
sense.
The Pro Bowl since Brian Sipe in 1972.
Brian Sipe.
Right. Of course, their franchise did cease to exist briefly during that time, but it is still a very long time, and that puts one on the board for Hembo. It's now 18-13 in favor of Dan as these two continue to go head-to-head, and the sneaky part is it wasn't rundown related today. All right, in his latest mock draft, Todd McShay, as you know, has the five quarterbacks going in round one, all in the first 11 picks. One and two, you see, are not surprises. The Niners moved up in this latest mock to take Mac Jones. You see Trey Lance there at 7 to Carolina. That's another trade. Justin Fields would be at 11 to New England. That would be another trade. So that's where McShay is putting them. Meanwhile, let's do a different game. I'm going to give you a quarterback. You give me his best fit. Bart Scott, Zach Wilson. What's his fit?
Well, for me, a quarterback's best friend is a run game, and a lot we talk about Kyle Shanahan and his run game, but we forget to talk about Arthur Smith and what he's going to be building in Atlanta, and the fact that you know within that division that Drew Brees is no longer there. Also, Tom Brady will probably be exiting when you get from behind Matty Ice. You have opportunity to only compete against maybe Teddy Bridgewater within the division. You think about throwing a Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst. I think that's a great spot for him.
Graziano, how about Justin Fields?
I like him in New England, right? With Belichick, it's always about value. And if Justin Fields really ends up being the fifth quarterback taken in this draft, I think the Patriots would be getting a good value. His talent is unmistakable. Get him with Josh McDaniels. See if you can unlock it at the pro level. I think Justin Fields to the Patriots would be very intriguing.
And then Jeff Saturday, how about Mac Jones?
Got to be the San Francisco 49ers. Again, I liken Kyle Shanahan to an Andy Reid. He's a QB whisperer. He's going to put you in the best situation. He understands about protecting quarterbacks, moving the pocket, understanding levels and throws. He puts you in the best position to succeed. That's exactly the type of system Mac Jones needs to go to. It would definitely be the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, speaking of him, we had Tim Hasselbeck on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he had this to say about Mac Jones, what he can do and can't do, where he should go and shouldn't go. Listen to this.
I believe now it is a prerequisite, if you're going to be drafted in the first round, that the quarterback can be involved in the run game because of what it does in your number count. So I just look at Mac Jones. He's a good prospect. But to be in kind of the elite, it's not there for me because I think there are athletic deficiencies.
So I'm glad we brought this back because Bart and Jeff, you were both sort of tiptoeing up to talking about this earlier, but now we can really dive into it. Bart Scott, you heard Tim Hasselbeck say it. If you're going to draft a guy that high, number three overall is what we're talking about now, and he doesn't check that box, what do you think of it?
Yeah. I mean, it's the evolution of the game, right? It's the backside. It's the quarterback being able to hold the backside linebacker and the backside defensive end that creates huge holes in the run game and huge running lanes. And also, with him being that threat, the RPO is a real thing. It sucks those linebackers up, and even the safeties creates, you know, space behind them to be able to throw the ball on the play-action pass. You're not going to respect that on the backside. If I'm a backside defensive end, I'm flattened out on the run game. So you talk about now you're asked to do more. Just like in basketball, the big man can't just be a big man. He's got to be able to shoot the three as well. And I think Mac Jones is good, but I don't think he's the new evolution of the quarterback position. He's a blast from the past.
So what you're saying is he's Bob Lanier, and we need Nikola Jokic these days at quarterback. I hear you. Jeff Saturday,
exactly.
Is Tim Hasselbeck right?
No, listen, I disagree with both these guys. We literally saw 2 months ago a statue win the Super Bowl. I mean, how quickly do we forget, right?
The greatest statue.
We just watched Tom Brady, who has been athletically deficient for 20 years. All I'm saying
really?
Is it is still possible to win with a pocket
really?
Passer. It's development
really?
Of a quarterback. Do I understand? Here's the
really?
Other thing, Bart, no one wants to talk about. With running quarterbacks, your risk of injury still is increased. Do I like it? Absolutely, I like it. Do I think it presents number issues for defenses? For sure. Playing 11-11 is much better. But when your 11th is hurt and now you're bringing in the backup guy, it changes the dynamic of your football team as well. So do I agree that it is definitely a benefit
really,
to
really,
have that?
Really.
I don't think it is an honest prerequisite to have only an athletic quarterback. I think there's a number of different ways to win in the NFL. It has been proven time and time again. Guys can win in different ways. It's whichever guy gets coached and developed best. I think it's an unfair expectation that everybody's going to look exactly the same and win in the NFL. That's just not how it happens.
That's fair. But Bart, I'll pick it up for you, because if I could push back on that, Jeff, Tim Hasselbeck wasn't saying you can't win that way. He was saying if you're going to take a quarterback that high in the draft, he wouldn't do it if he didn't add that extra dimension. You heard him say it in the soundbite. He's a good prospect. But if he can't do that extra stuff, I'm not taking him that high. Are you?
This goes back to the same. Am I winning the draft or am I winning games? I don't care. Listen, all this nonsense about the freaking draft, I don't care if we win the draft. I want to win games on Sunday. I want to win playoff games. I want to win Super Bowls. I don't care about do I win the draft. Where did I get that pick? It doesn't matter to me. I was undrafted, so I didn't even get drafted. I went to 6 Pro Bowls. It doesn't matter to me where
me
guys
either.
Get drafted. I want to win games.
Me either, Jeff. Jeff, name me 3 other successful pocket quarterbacks outside of the GOAT in the NFL right now. My point exactly.
I get it.
You can't
I get
win
the evolution. I get it. No, listen to me. I understand. It's a copycat league, Bart. Everybody wants to copy everybody. That's what, because everybody's scared to go outside the box. You know what happened when everybody went air raid and everybody went spread? Bill Belichick went 2 tight ends and a fullback. Still won Super Bowls. As right. you continue to tell me about what everybody else does, I don't care what everybody else does. I want to know how I can develop my players and win with my team, not what everybody else thinks. So when you tell me, absolutely everybody's evolved to a different style. That does not mean you can't win with it, and you shouldn't draft the guy that helps you in that spot.
Go ahead, Barry.
I'm not going into a NASCAR race with a Hudson. I tell you that much. I'm not driving a Pinto in a NASCAR race. I want to know what everybody else has underneath their engine. I'm sure you can win with that too, man. But come on, Jeff. Like, stop it. Like, you listen, you took the greatest quarterback of all time to make your argument, and he had 2 of everything. He had 2 good receivers, 2 good tight, 3 good tight ends. He had 2 good tackles, 3 good running backs. It took everything for the greatest to ever do it to win with it. You think a rookie, Matt Jones, is going to be able to do it? And name me the last great quarterback from the University of Alabama that played in the league.
That's a cheap shot.
I'll wait on that too.
Listen,
I have to throw a little jab in there, because Jeff was winning the argument, so I got personal.
That brief delay that comes from the pause is always so amusing. Let's try and Dan Graziano, let me let you get the last word in here on all of this. What is your sense of the degree to which NFL evaluators and people who make these decisions in the draft these days value that secondary ability from a quarterback?
It's a big deal. There's no question about it. You go back, Josh Allen threw 4 touchdown passes in a victory over the 49ers last December. And prior to that game and after that game, Kyle Shanahan had a lot to say about Josh Allen and his skill set and what that allows an offense to be able to do. So if you're looking for clues about how offensive coordinators think, there are definitely some in there. I think if Tim Hasselbeck's presenting it as a tiebreaker, I think he's right on the money.
All right. Meanwhile, so let's do that. I want to give Jeff something that he will really enjoy. If you're a regular viewer of this program during the football season, you see Jeff every week. We'll do a segment where he hands out pancakes for great blocks. Well, in honor of Penei Sewell's Pro Day today, Jeff, I'm told you have a bonus pancake for the number 1 tackle in the draft. Let's see it.
Oh, this is nasty. Check it out, Greeny. Look at him. Lock up on the end. Sees the linebacker. He's dropping. Guess what? Find action, boss. Oh. Go get violent with somebody,
really,
baby.
Jeff?
I
really,
love
Jeff?
This. He sees his fullback getting fullback getting run over. I used to see Bart Scott like this. He'd be on my guard. I'm going to put my helmet right in his ribs, baby. Go smoke him. That's what I'm talking about,
Jeff.
Cool.
You would
it's
like
the nastiness you bring.
You would like
everybody,
that.
Everybody wants to play finesse. We ain't playing no finesse, Greeny. We're getting after folks.
What do you think, Bart? What's it like
you
on the other
cheap
side of
that? That is a defenseless defender. He is defenseless. You can't
get
take cheap shots on receivers. You can't have crack blocks.
Yeah, I'm not
but
sure
you
want
to go there and get some ribs, get some barbecue sauce on my ribs? I used to try and catch Jeff Saturday.
Make no apologies.
Hit him in his ear hole.
No apologies, Bart Scott. That's the way it should be played, baby.
We've got to go to a break. After dominating the past 2 decades, the Patriots stumbled in their first season without Brady. What does it mean? We'll explain next.
Hey, Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Orlowski, Tannenbaum, and I are just here to watch Dominique and Kimberly bicker.
I disagree.
Okay, I'm done.
He's kind of sneaky weird.
Sneaky weird is now my new favorite way to describe any person.
Let's go.
Jeff Saturday is going to hand out pancakes.
You're on the train track. You're getting trucked, baby.
Let's chill.
You can't get off, baby.
Maybe I need to chill.
Bruce Arians gets the tattoo. What do you think?
There's some people you just don't want to see with their shirts off.
Diana, quick thought. Diana, I've bewildered you.
We would practice in the morning, play 18 holes of golf.
If the quarterbacks had been taking training camp a little more seriously, your team might have won a single game.
Marcus epitomizes the Cowboys fans to a T.
They the best team in the NFC East.
Whoa, preseason, baby.
Let's just calm down.
Good Lord.
Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge.
Never too much, never too much, never too much.
Mr. Vandross.
Just try not to lose my head.
Play it tonight. Pour some wine. I guarantee you have a great night.
There ain't a daggum thing he can do.
Times is like a jungle. It makes me wonder how he keep from going under.
And tell Miss Orlovsky, you're welcome.
We've been having some fun here all week, and we thank you for getting up with us every day. Meanwhile, back to the draft, and here again, Todd McShay's most recent mock draft, in which he's got Trey Lance and Justin Fields falling down near the bottom. Fields, 11 overall in a trade to New England is what he's projecting. And speaking of the Patriots, their owner Robert Kraft this week had a lot to say about his team, their recent draft history, and more. Listen to this.
You have to do it through the draft. I don't feel we've done the greatest job the last few years. And in fairness to Cam, I'm not sure he had the proper weapons around him. I don't know that Jared has ever really gotten a fair shot. So this isn't something where you get algebraic formulas. Think of all the personnel whizzes who passed for six rounds on Tom Brady. One way or another, we have to get that position solidified.
That was interpreted by a lot of people as Bob Kraft taking maybe a little subtle shot at Bill Belichick. Jeff Saturday, what did you think?
Most ridiculous comment of the week. I love what you just did about fun comment. This is the most ridiculous comment of the week. Here's a guy since 2011 who has taken you to five Super Bowls, two championship games that they lost. They go 7-9 when half the team opts out because of COVID. Definitely most of your leaders. Tom Brady leaves and goes to Tampa, and you're going to criticize the best organization over the last 20 years about the draft? Hey, in case anybody's confused on what Jeff Saturday thought about today, I don't care about the draft. I care about winning games. New England Patriots have won more games, more Super Bowls than anybody in NFL history. And how they're doing it behind Bill Belichick and how he's developed this football team. All this draft winning nonsense, somebody giving them A's, B's, C's, whatever. What I care about are W's. He keeps giving you W's. They've had one anomaly of a year, which was strange for everybody, where they lose one of the greatest players of all time to Tampa Bay. But ultimately, this team will be right back where he's had them all along. So to jump on the train about bashing Bill Belichick, that's absolutely ridiculous that Robert Kraft would even throw a minor shot his way. This guy's done too much for the organization to have that put after him after a 7-9 season with half your team again on the defense not even participating.
Bart?
Jeff, Robert Kraft has made a bunch of money in the world, in the business world, because he sees trends. And the trend is you have to have a young, great quarterback. He's looking at one within his division at Josh Allen. He's looking at maybe Tua Tagovailoa could be a good quarterback. maybe they, you know, Miami took all these draft picks so that they can make a trade for Russell Wilson next year. So now you're looking at where you're going, right? And now they have to try and replace arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. 7-9 is great, but when you're used to winning championships, 7-9 sucks. And this is where they're trending. They're trending to the direction. If they don't fix it through the draft, if they don't identify and find them a quarterback that can be half as good as Tom Brady behind the center, then they won't be winning any championships. And it is horrible to come after a dynasty and start chasing championships year after year. We call that the Dallas Cowboys, right? After they won their three championships, they've been trying to catch that and recapture a franchise quarterback like Troy Aikman, like the Big Three, to be able to go on another run. So he's saying that we're trending in the wrong direction. Because listen, Jeff, we've gone against each other a lot. And I can say, man for man, when you looked at our rosters, the Baltimore Ravens, we had more talent. But you had Tom, you had Peyton Manning behind the center. And we could not overcome that. We couldn't overcome it with an aging Steve McNair, when we had the best record in the league. We damn sure couldn't overcome it when we faced you with Kyle Bowler. You know, so that what happens is you have to identify and find a quarterback. Without that, I think the Patriots are lost. Yes, they'll always be to win games because Bill Belichick is one of the best coaches of all time. But the standard at that organization that Tom Brady set and Bill set together was to win Super Bowls. Right now, they're nowhere close to that. They're not going to beat Mahomes. They're not going to meet Jackson. They're not going to beat those guys. They're going to go to the playoffs and get bounced.
Very interesting. And you can both be right at the same time. Graziano, it does give me the opportunity to ask you, do the people you talk to expect Cam Newton to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots this year?
I don't think anybody's 100% certain on that because, you know, we've talked about this. His contract certainly doesn't require that. It can be a backup contract. It's got incentives that can push it higher. But if they find another option in the draft or outside the organization, they're definitely open to that. Look, Bill Belichick leaves himself options always, which is the smart way to operate. And he has here. It could be Cam Newton. It could absolutely be Cam Newton, and it would be Cam Newton with a better team around him than he had last year, which is part of Robert Kraft's point. But you can't rule out the Patriots taking a quarterback in the draft and looking for the future. You can't rule out Garoppolo ending up back there if things change in San Francisco, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I think the people around the league still expect Bill Belichick to have another move or two up his sleeve at that position.
Yeah, if they do draft a quarterback in the first round, it'd be the first time he's ever done it. The last time the Patriots drafted a quarterback right in the first round was Drew Bledsoe, and that's before Belichick. Now, for the last 20 years, they didn't have to think about that, which gives them the best
really
chance to
one.
Win quickly, Jeff. Garoppolo, Justin Fields, or Cam Newton? Who gives them the better chance to win this year?
Oh, Garoppolo will give you the best chance to win this year. Listen, I mean, this guy, a few years ago, he's a few years removed from a Super Bowl. I mean, but the issue with Garoppolo is availability, right? He keeps getting hurt. I will say the Patriots do a better job of protecting quarterbacks than most teams in the league. They play with a guy who plays behind center, doesn't move around, so they understand what that looks like. Three-step drop, five-step drop. So if you're asking me if they can protect Garoppolo, he would give them the best opportunity to win this season.
All right, we'll see if that's what they wind up doing. We have more to come as we continue here in a moment. Bart disagrees, which was predictable. We'll get to you in a minute, Bart, I promise. Meanwhile, let's make sure everybody knows about the lineup we have coming up on Sunday. Another NBA battle between LA's finest is 3:30 Eastern on ABC between the Lakers and the Clippers. On ESPN, we've got the NCAA Women's National Championship game. That's at 6 Eastern, and that's followed by Sunday Night Baseball, the White Sox and the Angels. Now, that is a lineup coming your way on Sunday. Meanwhile, coming your way here, will this be Aaron Rodgers' last stand with the Packers? Is the future in jeopardy? That's a play on words, and it's on the way. And then after we finish for the day, it's time for First Take. Kevin Durant addressing his latest social media controversy. What should the NBA do about it? Stephen A., Max, and Molly take over top of the hour here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We've got Bundesliga action on ESPN2 and the ESPN app tomorrow. First place Bayern taking on second place Leipzig. Coverage starts at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on ESPN2. All right, Dan Graziano, let's run through the 3 most important things that happened in the NFL this week. Go.
The most important thing has to be that they expanded the regular season to 17 games. I think, you know, this has been coming for a while and we took it for granted, but it's going to be something people have to get used to starting this season. The season's going to go an extra week longer. The Super Bowl will be pushed back to February 13th, and the records are going to look funny, right? You're not going to be able to go 8-8 anymore. So people are going to have to get used to something for the first time since 1978. Big change for the NFL. On the team side, Tyler Lockett's extension with Seattle is a pretty big deal because we've been talking all offseason about Russell Wilson and the Seahawks' ability to keep him happy. Russell Wilson loves Tyler Lockett. They have an incredible connection together, and the Seahawks send the right message to their quarterback by saying, we're taking care of a guy who's been incredibly productive for us, and we're going to keep him around here for you long term. Now, in terms of sending messages to star players, the Packers are taking a little bit of a different approach. Mark Murphy, the team president, declined this week to answer questions about the state of Aaron Rodgers' contract, which the Packers have chosen not to restructure in an effort to save cap space the way they have done with other people's contracts on their roster. As long as they don't do that, it leaves open the possibility that they could move on from Aaron Rodgers after this year and go with Jordan Love, who was their first-round pick last year. A lot still would have to happen. Rodgers would have to not win MVP again, and Love would have to show some development that he didn't get a chance to show last year, but it remains possible contractually.
All right, that clearly might be the most important story going forward. And so we could have brought that conversational topic back because I wanted to get Jeff and Bart because they argued about that today. But candidly, they argued about literally everything today. So we thought the best thing to bring back would be this. Jeff, Penei Sewell, on the day of his pro day, what's he doing here?
Served up on a silver platter, Greeny. Look at this right here. Free ribs, baby. Every buffet is open. Uh-huh. Go get some. And look how Sewell goes to get it. Go put that head right in his rib. Decleat him. Be violent. Bart Scott felt that when he's overrunning my guard. I'm going to come see him, too. Yeah. He understands what it looks like. Just sat him down with some pancakes. Nothing prettier. Good luck to Sewell on his pro day today, baby.
Jeff, would you repeat that?
Hold on, to quote the great comedian from Detroit.
Just hold on 1 second. Did you say free ribs, the buffet is open? I just want to make sure that that's what we heard.
Yes. Yes, sir. When he stretches out like this, Greeny, to go push on your guy, those ribs are exposed. Silver platter buffet's open. Go get them ribs. That's what it's all about. Tell him, Bart. You know what it feels like.
Go ahead, Bart.
Yeah, it's no fun when a rabbit gets a gun, though, because when I catch you pulling, I catch you on that easy button, catch you on that temple before you get that big girth turned around, and you go night-night, then it's all fun and games, and you wake up like, who hit me? Which one of y'all jumped me? I'm the one who hit you, Jeff Saturday, before you turn that corner, baby. Bend it like Beckham.
It's just fascinating to me as I take a look at what
and
obviously
by the way, that is assault. That is assault and battery.
It's probably inarguable. Dan Graziano, did you ever have any of those kind of confrontations in the press box when you were covering games, you know, a Chris Mortensen kind of take you out, something like that?
No. First time I was ever in an NFL locker room, a safety named Gene Atkins laid out a writer named Jason Cole, and that was weird. And I was, again, the first day I was ever in an NFL locker room, so I was a little bit shocked that this could happen. But fortunately, it hasn't happened since.
This was great fun. Guys, thank you so much for getting up with us today.
Keep those articles right.
Thank you for getting up with us today. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever Monday. First Take starts now.